You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool. How about this new equipment, gang? I mean, when it's working, it's working. I mean, do I sound sharp tonight? I hope so. It cost a pretty penny. But we're always looking for new and improved ways to bring the show to you, better audio, more options. Liberty News Radio Network, my goodness, a lot of options for you to listen. If you can't listen to us on the AM or FM dial, if we're not carried by an affiliate station in your market, of course you can get us online, and there's about five different ways to listen to us online. There's the unlimited listen line. You can call in, turn your radio into a phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It carries the live feed from Liberty News Radio Network, and then there's the Roku channel, and there's just so many other ways to listen. We try to document a lot of them at our website. But in addition to just having so many different ways to get the show, and of course there's the broadcast archives if you miss us live, we want the show to sound as good as it possibly can. So we're going through the growing pains of implementing some new equipment, and we hope by the first week of September we'll have our permanent setup here at the studio completed. But so far so good tonight, knock on wood, except for that one little Tom Winston faltered. We're doing pretty good tonight. I don't want to jinx it. Joining me now, batting cleanup, flying in to save the day, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who, let me tell you something, folks, it was killer today in Memphis. It was a typical southern summer day. It was 100 degrees with 98% humidity. I want you to think about that and how miserable that actually feels when you walk outside. 100 degrees, 98% humidity. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, 67 years old. How'd you spend the worst part of the day, Eddie?
Well, I was out there with the 20 and 30-somethings from the St. Jude Heroes and from Breakaway Running Marathon Training Group, did my 16 miles today, son boy. And I'm sitting here, hey, I have a new, what they call the runner circles. If there's any marathon runners out there, we get sometimes what they call the dreaded black toe. That's from your toes being just, you know, traumatized. And it you know, it came some rain today, and we were already sloshing wet in our shoes. And then the rain made it worse, and your shoes stretch out and get big. You start rubbing those blisters, and it just tears your toes up. Hey, the veteran runners, they say they have, like, claws for their toenails are. Their toes get wrecked. But I had a great time with all my buddies out there. You know, took the time. Had a wonderful time. But you know what I really hated about it? The worst part of it was I had to take a daggum bath before I got home. And some boy knows how bad I hate baths. Almost as bad as my cat.
He's just joking.
And I had to shave, too.
Eddie showers at least once a week, folks. Don't let him fool you.
That's for
but,
sure.
98% humidity. I went outside today, and I took he takes a shower once a week, Raider Shad. But
complain. Only if they complain, no, but
I went out today.
Look under your arms and it stops the BO stuff.
I went out today to take my wife and daughter to the museum, the Pink Palace. It's the Museum of Natural History. I actually might talk a little more about that later this hour if I feel like it. But I took them to the museum today. It's nice and cool in the museum. But to get to the museum, I had to walk to my car. And I had to get out of the car once we got to the museum and walk from the parking lot to the front door. And just doing that was almost more misery than I could take. Because, I mean, when it's 98% humidity, folks, and it's so hot, I mean, you literally can go outside. And you start sweating as soon as the door closes, for starters. But you can go outside, and you could literally start swimming through the air. It's just so wet. I mean, you just could just start floating. Just swimming, and it's just nasty. And here's Eddie, 67 years old, running 16 miles. I haven't run 16 miles in my life. Thankfully, I've got superhuman genetics, so I stay fit with, like, you know, nice your body qualities. But anyway, no, Eddie, I good work today, my elder brother in arms.
Well, I tell you what, I didn't go. I after about 150 yards, I had to come out of my fancy breakaway running shirt. I just looked really good in it. Even if I say so myself, you would not believe how good I look. But I had to come out of it, man. It was just like lead.
Listen, I'm telling you. I'm the moon. I take all the asteroids. And Eddie and Scoop and these other guys, they get to bask in the glow of the luminescence of being a co-host. I see Eddie with pictures with these 20-something college co-eds. Well, no, I don't. I'm sorry. Eddie's wife may be listening. I don't see that. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's all in good fun. But no, I mean, Eddie's got all these young friends at the breakaway, and you're talking, you know, these 20-year-olds and, man and woman alike are attracted to Eddie. Not that he's attracted to them, God knows, because he's married.
Well, it doesn't hurt. I mean, it doesn't hurt that the young girl to run, you know. Lord have mercy. There's snow on the roof, but that don't mean there ain't fire in the furnace, son.
All right. Well, we better, before we dig ourselves in any deeper of a hole, I forget we're on live radio without like a kill switch or, any sort of delay. So I just talk sometimes. So let's talk politics. Well, we better talk about something else. Anyway. Well, people recognize Eddie. I mean, people know Eddie's been on this show a long time. He's got fans. What can I say? I mean, you know, it's one of the worst parts of the job. I hate being recognized. And I can tell you this has happened to me twice. I was at Baskin Robbins the other day. This is honest to God truth. I'll say this too, because my wife was there with me. I had this young girl come up. We were at Baskin Robbins, maybe in college, but she recognized me. She tapped me on the back. I was ordering ice cream for my daughter, and she said, "Are you James Edwards?" Well, yes. And, you know, she knew the show. So, you know, it happens. But, all right, so you went to vote, Eddie. Now, I don't want you to tell people who you voted for. I went to vote, too, this week. I love Eddie's experiences when he goes to vote, because they like seeing somebody of Eddie's age come in there. They think they're going to give him a pat on the back and thank him for doing his civic duty. Well, they did that to Eddie, and Eddie gave him the old bombardier response. Why don't you just take it from the top, Eddie, and tell us what happened when you went to vote?
Well, with mercy, certainly will. I tried to be as nice as I could. I told the lady, I came in here and I'm going to pretend to vote, and y'all can pretend to count the votes, you know. I said, like Uncle Joe Stalin said, we don't care who votes, how many votes, as long as we count the votes. And I went in there to vote for my younger brother-in-arms, Keith Alexander, and to vote against the traitor Lamar Alexander. And after I started talking about that, saying that, the lady just started getting kind of panicky and told me I couldn't talk like that. They would kick both of us out. And I said, well, hell, I thought we were still in America, still had the First Amendment, you know. And matter of fact, that's what we're there voting for. This is an American heritage, you know, voting. And, you know, we do have the Constitution, I thought. But I finally had to, you know, tone it down, because the lady was getting real panicky, and I over nothing, because I told her what a traitor Lamar Alexander was, you know, and I just come over there to try to vote against him, even though I told her that I did realize it was futile. I asked some people in line, James, and said, I don't ever remember nominating a United States Senator. I have never even nominated a United States Congressman or a President. They take these clowns, they're pre-picked, you know, years in advance. We all know that. The voting machines are all rigged. Now, if you're in a local race like Keith, you know, or maybe, but that's not a slam dunk that that's fair, because I was telling Keith, I remember, James, you remember.
Hold on, right. Well. Happy, hold on right there. They're playing our song. Eddie's not in the studio with me tonight. He's calling in. But he might not hear the music as good as I can, so I gotta keep Eddie straight. It's hard to keep Eddie straight. But I do want to talk more about Eddie's voting experience and Lamar Alexander. If you don't know, if you're not from Tennessee, Lamar Alexander is one of our two senators, and he's about as liberal. He makes Obama look like Pat Buchanan. So yes, we're going to take a break and talk more about it right after this.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Yeah, I went to vote this week. I actually had one of our super listeners. He lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and he's one of our biggest contributors. And he contacted me this week via email to make sure I was going to vote against Lamar Alexander. So yeah, Lamar Alexander is notorious. He's a Republican, liberal Republican. Everything Obama votes for, he votes for it. And yeah, I went in and voted for Joe Carr in the primary against Lamar Alexander. Of course, there's eight other people running in the primary, so they water down the conservative resistance vote, and Lamar Alexander won his 20th term in office or whatever it is. But I vote every election. You know, I always say there's no difference. It doesn't matter. But I still go and vote. And it is true. And I talked about this with this listener of the show from Oklahoma. When you have a primary election, sometimes you can find an alternative candidate like Joe Carr, who was running against Lamar Alexander, that you can go vote for in good conscience. Now, once he gets up there, is he going to be perverted and bought off? Probably. 90% chance, yes. But you know what you're getting with Lamar Alexander. And when Lamar Alexander goes up against the Democratic nominee for Senate here in Tennessee, you do have a no difference type of situation. But one thing you got to remember when you go vote is you don't have to vote the entire ballot. I mean, we had 15 pages of, you know, it's on these electronic rigged machines now, and it's 15 pages. I had 15 pages of a ballot. I voted for two people, and I voted in Tennessee, you can vote to retain or replace the judges, the Supreme Court judges. I vote replace on all of them, and I lost every single election. Everybody I voted for lost, and all of the judges were retained, and that's pretty much how it always is. I voted for a winner one time, and it was in the primary earlier this year, but when I voted for him in the general election, he lost. We're not going to say who that is. We're going to talk about that more next week. You've kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit, Eddie. It was a secret, but we'll talk about
it
next week.
Put it back in the bag.
Yeah, put it back in the bag. But anyway, I love Eddie. Eddie went in, and they thought they'd come over and hug this guy that was coming in, this senior citizen. Now, Eddie is no senior citizen. Eddie has more vigor. We hear these commercials about the vigor score. Eddie's got like 110 vigor score. He's got an A+. He's better than most 30-year-olds. 20-year-olds. But anyway, so Eddie was going to vote, and they thought they'd come over and pat him on the back and thank him for coming to vote. And then Eddie said, hey, I'm just coming here to pretend to vote, and you can pretend to count it. I'm going to vote against this communist Lamar Alexander. The election poll worker has a coronary and has to calm herself down. But this actually happened in the primary. You know how it works, folks. You have a primary in the spring and then the general election in the fall. When we voted in the primary earlier this year, Eddie, you said something along the same lines. It was almost like deja vu this week. But earlier this year, we didn't tell this story on the air, but didn't you say you said something to that effect in line at the, when you went to vote in May for the primary and some guy wanted to fight you? Do you remember that?
I remember it all too well. And, you know, we were standing in the line, and I said something to the similar effect, told the fellas, you know, we're at the, something like, you know, with the Joseph Stalin voting station. And, you know, and they always give you, these clowns always give you the same speech. Well, if you don't like this country, why don't you leave it? I said, well, Hoss, you know, I can't leave. You know, I'm in occupied territory. This is my country right here. Why don't you and you get you and your central government the hell out of the South? You know, and I said, I have not one and two honorable discharges in the Army, so I think I'll stay here and fight it out, man. But you know, I'm not going to mention the name of the air, but like I told the guy at our church, and you know who I'm talking about, James. I told him I love you, the pastor. I love everybody here, but God's never made a dumber critter than a Southern Baptist. I swear to God, and that's the kind of people running up on this at this voting station. And I mean, that's all I said. I just made this one remark about it, and the guy wants to fight, and he's probably 25 years younger than me, you know, head.
But we're not talking that he just said you should leave or he verbally challenged you. He actually wanted to go outside and fist fight you, didn't he? I mean, yeah, when you told him that.
But I didn't want to take advantage of the clown, though. You know, I mean, as you know, I don't ever travel alone, and I'm always ready to go. But yeah, and then the poll worker, after this guy was the one that got aggressive, the poll worker, one of our black brethren, follows me all the way out to my truck, you know, to make sure, I guess I didn't say any more, you know, off the reservation remarks, and make sure I kept my tone, you know, on the established plantation. Wasn't supposed to say anything about our voting system or anything. But yeah, I've had that experience several times. I certainly have. And, you know, I was telling our friend who I let the cat let out of the bag, I said, you know, you can't always depend on it just because it's a small race. I'm not interfering because I remember, James, you know, back when Austin Farley was running for state representative here, with you and me and Blake, we worked our tails off. It was the heat was about like it was today.
Do it next segment.
Remember, I carried a 5-gallon water jug with us back in my truck. We all sweated, and, you know, our shoes full. But Brenda, my wife, was watching the news. And I'll just pull a number out of the hat, but just to illustrate, because I don't remember what the vote was because it's been years ago. But Austin had something like 15,000 or 18,000 votes. Well, we go to a nose break and come back, and Austin's like down to 6,000 or 8,000 votes. I mean, that happened. You know, and it was screwy, and there's really nothing you can do about it. You know, and you know all the hell you went through, James, when you ran for office back. When were you about 12?
2002. Yeah, I was 12 years old. I was 20. I turned 22 during that campaign. But yeah, I was talking about that during the commercial break, you know, having run for office before. So, you know, we know what we're talking about, folks. When you talk about fighting for our people, we've done it in every way you can. We've gone out and we've advocated for candidates. We voted for candidates that we like. We've run for office ourselves. We do what we do on the radio, which, you know, has now got a global audience, and we consistently make national news. We're making national news this week as a result of our interview last week with Anthony Cumia. So we're getting this message out. But yeah, I ran for office in 2002 and ran for state representative. I was so full of urine and vinegar that I should have tried to play within the system and run as a Republican. I just came off the Buchanan campaign in 2000, and I just couldn't associate with Republicans, and so I ran as an independent. And of course, that was a death sentence. Little did I know, I just thought if I knocked on every door in the district, that I would win. And let me tell you something, folks. I knocked on every door in the district. I still got the shoes. There is two huge holes in the bottom of my shoes that I wore that year. I knocked on 20,000 doors. You know, I would campaign. I didn't, you know, I was working for my father back then. And so, you know, my hours were flexible and I, you know, was just full-time campaigning. And, you know, I lost, but I got 20% of the vote. Now, that's not a lot. You think that's a landslide, but it was a three-way race. I ran as an independent, got 20% of the vote, and it was more votes than any independent has ever gotten for a state representative seat in the history of the state of Tennessee. So if I'd run as a Republican, I don't know, maybe I'd been in office and not have been doing this radio show, but I'm glad I lost because in losing, I met a guy named Austin Farley who helped me co-found this show, and that's who Eddie was talking about a minute ago. If I hadn't run for office, basically, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to start the political cesspool. That's a fact, because running for that office raised my profile in the local community and it got me an opportunity to go into radio. But yeah, Austin ran for that seat again in 2004, 2 years later. Or no, it was 2006. It was 2006 Austin ran for it. I ran for it in 2002. He ran for it in 2006. And yeah, he was running in the Republican primary, and what Eddie said happened, whether or not it was just a mistake and they gave him too many votes and had to correct it, or he had won that many votes and they had to take him away, who's to say? But we all saw that with our own eyes, and that's the truth. But anyway, but you can't complain about that. I mean, Eddie, you served in Vietnam. You had two honorable discharges, two tours of Vietnam as a combat medic. But you have not earned the right to criticize this country, have you?
That's for sure. That's for sure. It's getting more dangerous every day. I have a really good friend in Alabama, and we talk about that. It's a lot more dangerous than I thought it was previously. It's getting worse every day. Without saying too much, I've been getting...
Well, you can't say... The good news is you can't say too much right now because we've got a commercial break. Every time Eddie's ready to go. Well, we're going to take a break. And Eddie, when we come back, I want to talk to you about this story that my dad showed us the other day when you were over at the house about the ATF. We're going to talk about that. Okay. You're not going to want to miss this, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to
to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back. I would say of all the talent that we have on the hosting staff here for the cesspool, between myself, Keith Alexander, Winston Smith, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, that without question, Eddie the Bombardier Miller would be the encyclopedia when it comes to guns. I mean, we all like guns. We all like to go shoot, and we all know guns, and we all have guns and all that. But Eddie's the authority when it comes to it. Now, if there's one person that I know in my life that is on Eddie's level with when it just comes to gun history and love of guns and all things guns, and there's nothing about a gun you don't know, it's my dad. And Eddie came over to the house, I guess it was a couple of weeks ago, and my dad was there. And, of course, Eddie and my dad know each other. And they got to talking about guns, because that's what Dad wants to talk about anytime he sees anybody. And they were talking about guns and showing each other their guns. You know, boys will be boys, and so on and so forth. But anyway, Dad had this story that even the most novice person with no knowledge of guns would know that this is just crazy. But it was presented as, you know, a fact. The ATF confiscated a shipment of plastic toy guns. And, you know, they have the orange tips on them, so you know that they're toys. The ATF confiscated a shipment from Taiwan to this store that sells them because they said if these guns had fallen into the wrong hands, they could easily, mind you, be converted into a functioning machine gun. Now, Eddie, this is the ATF. This is what the ATF's official response was to the news when asked why they confiscated these guns. I'm going to actually play this entire clip from the news source itself, and then we're going to let Eddie comment on it.
And welcome, everyone, and good evening. I'm Jeff Giannola.
And I'm Kelly Day. Federal agents seize a ship of toy guns they say in the wrong hands. They could have actually been deadly.
In this Coin Local 6 exclusive, our reporter Alexis Del Cid talked to the local businessman who ordered these toy guns. And I see you have one there, huh, Alexis?
Jeff, this is an example of one of the toy guns seized. And besides the orange tip, it looks pretty real. But this is an airsoft toy. It shoots plastic BBs. And the man who ordered these says anyone with any knowledge of weapons should be able to figure that out.
No bullets, just plastic BBs. Not a battlefield, just a wooded area made to look like one.
It's another version of paintball.
For the past 7 years, Brad Martin and his son Ben say their family business in Cornelius has steadily grown as simulated combat gaming grows in popularity across the country.
This is the contemporary version of Civil War reenacting.
While they aim for authenticity in every piece of gear, the Martins didn't anticipate a seizure by customs and ATF agents in Tacoma as their latest shipment of toy guns arrived from Taiwan.
Any kid, any parent, any adult going out of the house with this needs to be ready for trouble.
ATF Special Agent Kelvin Crenshaw says not only is the shipment missing the orange tips required on all imported toy guns,
with minimal work, it could be converted to a machine gun.
To say these are readily convertible to machine guns is absolutely preposterous. The round wouldn't go into the barrel for one, and two, if the firing pin did strike the primer, the gun would basically blow up in your face.
Also, the Martins say there are tens of thousands of replicas just like these sold in America already. The only reason they buy from Taiwan is because it's cheaper. Until now.
He's spent all this manpower, tax dollars, and time, and wasted my time, my money, my profitability to seize 30 toy guns. That's what he's done. And he's portrayed himself as a great hero.
But ATF insists that it did the testing and determined that, yes, these can be converted into military-grade weapons. The Martins requested to see the documentation of that, and they were told that they'd have to file a Freedom of Information request with ATF. Now, as for the orange tips, this one has one. The ones that came in from Taiwan didn't. But the Martins say that's happened before with their shipments from Taiwan, and they just had to go up to Tacoma and paint the tips orange themselves. So they wonder why this is being made into an issue now. Alexis Del Cid, Coin Local.
Okay, Eddie, so you got the ATF, and they steal these 30 toy guns and say with minimal effort, this could be turned into a military-grade functioning machine gun. Now, this is the ATF agent speaking. Now, if you know, a toy gun, first of all, I mean, yeah, they can kind of look real if you've never seen a gun before, you're in the dark, you could maybe mistake some of these toy guns. And it'd be one thing if the ATF said, okay, you don't need to go out with these toy guns because we could mistake it for a real gun. But no, they didn't say that. They said they it can be converted into a military-grade weapon. Now, Eddie, you know enough about guns, more than enough to counteract this story. What's your response to this?
Well, you know what? First of all, I'd like to say, you know, like I said, I'm 67 years old, and it's going back in my memory, as far back as I can remember, we always played with guns, and we never had the cops to gun us down. Incidentally, there was a fella gunned down in Walmart. I saw on the internet, I think, yesterday, because he had a toy gun he got from the toy department in Walmart, and some idiot customer called the police, called, you know, 911, said there's a psycho in here with a assault rifle. Well, the cops came in there and killed him. And the guy got the plastic gun in the toy section of Walmart. The guy was still in Walmart. And, you know, James, it doesn't even take anybody with any gun knowledge. I mean, my God, it's like, I mean, I just can't tell you how ridiculous that is. I mean, anybody with just any common sense at all, anybody from, you know, sixth grade level would know you can't take a plastic gun and convert that into, you know, a real rifle. I mean, you know, just your average run of the day, you know, center fire rifle will generate anywhere from 50,000 to 65,000 pounds per square inch in the chamber. I mean, there's no way to fire it. There's no chamber in a toy gun. There's no firing pin. There's no apparatus whatsoever. I mean, it'd be like somebody taking a lawnmower and converting that into a B-52 bomber. I mean, it's just totally ridiculous. I listened to that buffoon talk about that, how you could easily convert this gun. If that guy is that stupid, we're in worse trouble than I thought we were. And he probably is that stupid, because that's about the only people that the government will hire nowadays. I mean, that's the most you couldn't get any more ridiculous than that. And I'd like to fall back again and say what I've been saying, what I just said. Our kids have played with guns forever. Forever. You probably too, James, you know. I mean, I did. I never had any real fancy ones, but people never got, they never got shot with guns. Just, from the police, whatever, gunned down by the police. It's just a height of stupidity. I mean, like the fellow on the news clip said, if there was some way, and I don't even know how you could fire the primer inside a cartridge, if there was some way to do it, the bullet wouldn't even go anywhere. You know, a bullet can be fired out of a barrel. See, this gun, plastic gun, didn't even have a barrel. It has to be generated under great pressure. That's where that pressure from for instance, a 308 or a 30-06, it'll generate anywhere from 50,000 to 60,000 pounds a square inch. And you can imagine what that do that to that gun. But I mean, any woman should probably not denigrate women, because a lot of women are probably, you know, better shots than us. But, you know, a teenage girl would know better than that. It's just, they have another motive out there. There's another motive, James. They're just trying to attack the overall gun culture. It's what they're trying to do. It's an all-out war on our American society and on our culture in general. That's exactly what it is.
Well, and this was an ATF expert, so-called, and this is what he said. And, of course, when the store that had their merchandise stolen by the ATF asked to see evidence as to why they believe you can take this plastic gun and turn it into a howitzer or whatever, they wouldn't provide it. They said they can't provide that evidence, and they wouldn't give them the report. So, I mean, but this is what passes. So, I mean, this is a very major government agency, the ATF.
Sure.
And this is what we're dealing with, and you're dealing with this kind of incompetence and criminal corruption throughout government. There's nothing new there, but I mean, something like this is just so it's ridiculous even by their levels. I mean, they normally try to sound highfalutin and at least pretend to have some intelligence.
You know, well, James, and before we forget, you know, the chief sent us a story a week or two ago that we didn't get to cover because we were, had to play some tapes a while back when we were moving, in the process of moving the station and stuff. But talking about the height of corruption and just stupidity, the chief sent us this story.
Yes, bring that up. I'm glad you're remembering that. Yes, go ahead.
I hope the chief is listening. The chief sent us the article, a group of Boy Scouts on tour in Canada. This wasn't the Mexican border where all the drug war was going on. Boy Scouts, people. Boy Scouts from the heartland of America. Some state like Indiana, I believe it was. I'll just throw Indiana out there. Chief said from the heartland.
I believe it was Indiana. Well, actually, hold on, Eddie, because they're coming up on a commercial break, but I'm going to find this story. I'm going to let you tell us all about it, but I'm going to actually find the actual story so we can read it from the paper where we had this report. I know it was on our website, so stay tuned, folks. You're not going to believe this story. And it was reported by Fox News.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, everybody. Eddie the Bombardier Miller gets a gold star tonight. I mean, hasn't this been a great show, everybody? I want everybody who is a fan of this show and a regular listener and certainly our contributors to give yourselves a big round of applause. Now, if you're driving in your car tonight and you're listening to us on the AM or FM dial in your respective market, don't do that. We don't want you to wreck. But if you're sitting there, you're listening to us on the phone or on the computer, give yourself a round of applause. The political cesspool continues to exceed expectations. We continue to make national news for our heartfelt issues, and we're having a good time doing it. And I love you folks. I love you very much. And I certainly love my brothers in arms. And as I was saying, Eddie gets a gold star tonight. Everybody gets a gold star tonight. Scoop Stanton, man, what a job he's done the last few weeks, getting us all these guests, Charlie LaDuff and Sean Bergen and Anthony Cumia. I mean, we're a band of brothers, and we do all this as volunteers. I mean, look at the difference we are making with this show and this network and what Sam Bushman does, and we're all doing it on a volunteer. We don't get paid to do this. We just ask that we, you know, have the money it takes to fund the show, you know, because you know, we're a nationally syndicated show. This is a nationally syndicated radio network. It takes money. But you look at what we're doing, and you can be very proud, folks, because you made it happen, and it's great to work with you and great to work with my team here. And yes, Eddie the Vomiter Miller, for bringing up this story. As you mentioned, we were going to cover this a couple of weeks ago, but they were refurbishing our home studio here, and we're still getting some of the technology streamlined here, but it's all going to make for a better broadcast, as we've mentioned. But there was, I think it was Saturday before last, we had to play a best of show because they were gutting the studio here. But yeah, this story we were going to cover, the Navy chief, Art Frith, sent us this story: Customs and Border Agent Holds Boy Scout at Gunpoint. So you got third world aliens, as Eddie mentioned, of all sorts, crossing our unprotected southern border, and our federal government refuses to do anything about it. Now, when we're talking about the incompetence of the federal government, we, you know, we were talking about the ATF and their incompetence with this story we covered last segment, and that triggered Eddie's memory about this border agent. But they will pull a border and pull a weapon and threaten members of the Boy Scouts of America who are American citizens. And Fox News reports this, and I'm going to read it very quickly and toss it back to Eddie and let him run with it. Jim Fox, the leader of the – they were from Iowa, actually, Eddie, not Indiana. We were both wrong. But the leader of the Mid-Iowa Boy Scout Troop 111 said the incident occurred earlier this month at a checkpoint along the Alaska-Canada border. Alaska-Canada, now how much how much problems do you think you're having there? Alaska-Canada. Okay, I don't think you're going to have very many problems there. Now, if we got a cowboy like this guy up there, he needs to be sent down to McAllen, Texas, or San Diego or something like that. But the scouts and their leaders were on a 21-day trek from Iowa to Alaska, a trip that had been 3 years in the planning. And Fox News reports that as their vans were moving through a checkpoint into the United States from Canada – into Canada from Alaska, one of the scouts snapped a photograph, and agents then stopped the van and ordered all the passengers to get out. They told the underage photographer, this Boy Scout, that he had committed a federal crime. It was unclear which agency with the Department of Homeland Security was involved with the incident, but the agent immediately confiscated his camera, informed the Boy Scout that he would be arrested and fined possibly $10,000, and then the scout leader heard the snap of a holster, and he turned around, according to Fox News, and the agent had both hands on his loaded pistol pointing it at the Boy Scout's head. Well, Fox News reported that, folks, so we'll trust that they got it right. But what do you make of it, Eddie?
You know, James, our country has degenerated so much in the past few years. I just have a hard time getting a hold of that. But I'm telling you flat out, I think you know what I would do if, well, my grandson's not 11 years old anymore. He's 19. But I think you have a pretty good idea what the old bombardier would do in a situation like that.
Well, please don't tell us on the air.
I think the people out there have a really good idea, though. You know, it would be what would be done would be what should be done, and it would be dead, as they could say.
And Eddie would ask him to politely lower his firearm. We all know that that's what he would do. But anyway, go ahead, Eddie.
Well, you know, I want to point out yet the fact. Where do they get? First of all, I would like to go back to this right here. In recent times, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, they released 37,000 of the worst kind of felons, rapists, you know, murderers, arsonists. Just released them from the prison and just sicked them on to the American public. Was it 37,000? I believe it was, James. And nothing. You know, I know, for instance, according to listening to some of the other radio shows in Texas and Arizona, especially Texas, the police there have been instructed not to even arrest Mexicans, not to even arrest them because the INS won't even come pick them up anymore. Even if they're
we heard that from Charlie LaDuff's story to Fox Detroit when he was down there. Charlie LaDuff was on this show a couple of months ago, but yeah, they're bringing them over in broad daylight. These coyotes bringing them over broad daylight on jet skis crossing the Rio Grande. The Border Patrol agents won't arrest them anymore because they're not from Mexico. These are from Central America and South America. They arrest them, take them to Mexico. Mexico says they're not going to take them because they're not Mexican. And so, yeah, they can't arrest them. They can't do anything with them except change their diapers and warm their formula.
I just can't compute this. A full-grown man pointing a deadly weapon. I mean, that weapon, this idiot, if he's that stupid and that far gone, the guy's probably on drugs or something, to point a loaded pistol at a child, 11 or 12. What did you get out of the Boy Scouts at, what, 12 years old? But the kid's probably 11, 12 years old. You know, I wish they would send that guy down at the Mexican border. You know what he would do? He would have to be changed to diapers. You know, those cowards like that, when they're faced, people like that those bully cowards, those psychos, most of the time when they're going up, head up against a dangerous situation, they have to crap their pants. I mean, they just start crying and sobbing. I mean, they just turn into a basket case. But I just like to say that again. I know I'm going overboard probably, but I just can't imagine under any situation of a cop getting a kid, he's a child, a juvenile, off of a bus and pointing a loaded weapon at an unarmed Boy Scout. For taking a picture, the guy's a tourist. He's on vacation. That's what tourists do. That's what vacationers do. They take photographs all the time. There was a time, not too many years ago, but a cop would be flattered if someone wanted to take his photograph. Why they'd want to do it, I can never imagine. Not nowadays. But I mean, the guy was insane. And I guarantee you something else, people. Nothing, absolutely nothing, will be done about that, because our police force nationwide is totally out of control now. You can't turn the radio on a single day, the TV, you can't pick up any kind of a news media without seeing some innocent citizen killed, maimed, tased by the out of control police. And I'm not preaching to the choir, because our audience, I'm sure, knows more about this than I do, but our police nationwide have become just militarized. They've been taken over. You know, they've been kind of federalized by the federal government. It's hard to name a police force or a sheriff's department in any county of any size, especially in a city of any size, probably biggest Jackson, Tennessee, and bigger than us. Jackson, Tennessee is not very big, that they get millions and millions of dollars from the taxpayers, of course, to bribe them, and they get millions and millions of dollars of federal equipment like Humvees and arm. I see where police departments are getting armored personnel carriers, and these clowns, they no longer look like the Japanese police. For instance, I saw on the internet the other day some Japanese police. I can't remember what the situation was, but they looked like American cops looked like 30 years ago. They had nice pressed neat. Navy blue trousers, a light blue shirt, tie, just with a small sidearm. They didn't have a bazooka or a German World War II Tiger tank. You know, they weren't dressed in black. These clowns nowadays, these Army Ranger wannabes dressed in black head to toe, they're just itching. I mean, they're just itching to bust the head of some civilian. Not all cops. But there's far too many more like that, and the reason they're like that is because they're recruiting like they recruit them like that. They recruit the lowest common denominator. They get these guys back from Iraq, these 20-something-year-olds who've been 4, 5, or 6 tours in Iraq, golly knows where else, and they've been used to treating these people over there like worse than roaches, and they come back here, and the United States government is sticking them loose, turning them loose on us, and that's what's happening. But something, that man that pointed that gun, it should be attempted murder. I mean that is very, very serious. I'll tell you something else. You let any civilian, if a civilian had even had his hand on a weapon like that, he wouldn't even have to point the gun at a kid or an adult. If you go out in public and you're around a cop and you put your hand on your handgun, you're a dead man unless you draw first. I mean, But the cops can do it and get away with it. If the guy had killed the kid, he probably would have got kicked off the force. I would like people to email in to the cesspool or call in and let us know if you know of a cop in the recent history getting in trouble for tasing someone to death or beating someone to death who was innocent. That it happens every stinking day. And
if it's white cops doing it to non-whites, they certainly get it. But anyway, big story. We got to go. We're out of time. Love you, Eddie. Thanks, everyone, for your supportive emails this week. We'll be back next week. God bless you. Live life the way we do without retreat, surrender, or apology. Good night, everybody.
Kudos to Winston. He did a wonderful job.